wake up in your face on the bedroom carpet. Count back all the ways that you ended up there. Can't remember someone else's story. You can't remember that you don't feel sorry. So get up, get out. Lines are gone.
So if you don't know who that was, that's Matt Pond, PA, of Matt Pond, PA. And he will actually be joining us on and off on Under My Host. He's on tour right now, though, so we couldn't get him in on the first show. And also, I guess that leads me into, we're not going to just stick to doing Under My Host with alcohol producers. I really want the Under My Host that we do now to reflect the content of craft. So food and beverage producers, cooks, chefs, musicians, you know, all the, you know, artisans.
Sweet.
Yeah, you know, we can only talk about alcohol so much. As much as we want to talk about it all the time, I think there's a lot of other things that I want to talk about. Agricultural things that are going on that we start to cover in craft. But welcome back. I'm so excited to be back recording, and I didn't think I would be. He's been pulling, you know, Brian is sitting in with us. Brian Sullivan is back recording. Maddie CK, original producer, is recording with us.
OP.
Mm-hmm. And the, of course, the usual suspects are back. That's going to be Drew Fox of 18th Street Brewery, Gary, Indiana. Also, about to be opening up in Hammond, Indiana. He'll have to tell us about that in the show. Jeremy Danner, the ambassador brewer of Boulevard Brewing Company. He's also a columnist in craft by Under My Host now, the Danner Manor. We're not going to talk about craft content that's not come out yet, so it's stuff that we'll cover the next time that he's on. But welcome, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Thank you.
You're welcome. We have Andy Nelson of Nelson's Greenbrier in Nashville, Tennessee. He's the head distiller, co-founder with his brother, Charlie. That's all the air time that Charlie's going to get on the show.
He can take his perfect beard.
And then new for us is James Kenji Lopez Alt, who, if you don't know, I don't know what rock you're living under if you don't know who Kenji is, but Kenji is the, Kenji, what is your title at Sirius Eats? It's like, you're the culinary director, right?
I'm managing culinary director.
Right, and he's amazing. I love to cook, and I'm a pretty good cook. I love Kenji's approach to food. It's very no nonsense. He's very no nonsense. He came out with this incredible book, The Food Lab, which it's really a tome. I'll let you guys flip through it. It's huge, and it's full of tons of incredible information. His book is selling like crazy. You're like New York Times bestseller list and, you know, top, yeah. Right? Are you? So we'll go because the guys have been on before. So I kind of want to cover Kenji a little bit because, you know, our listeners may not be familiar with him. Kenji, you have this amazing book. This is your first book that you've ever released, and it's selling like crazy.
It is. Yeah, it's my first book. I mean, I've been working on it for a while. So
yeah.
It feels like more than the first book, it's doing well. Better than we ever hoped for.
Now, and you're on book tour. So your first book tour, how is that?
I am. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, winding down a bit. So I got home a couple days ago, but you know, I've been traveling pretty solidly for like the last 6 weeks or so. It's great, you know. It's really nice to meet people, and people are really nice. Some of them are a little crazy, but it's nice. Traveling is tiring.
And happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
I saw your wife put on a pretty nice celebration for you guys. The costumes were pretty amazing.
Yeah, my wife invited like 30 of my friends, and then my birthday is on Halloween, but my wife invited like 30 of my friends, and they convinced them all to dress like me.
Well, one was dressed like his book. One was like the book.
One of them was dressed like my book. Yeah, it was like me and me related things. So there was like a couple people dressed as knives.
Oh no, the girl that the pregnant woman who was dressed as an avocado, and like he's in the middle with a knife. Like the baby is the seed. Like
nice.
And yeah, that was Kenji's whole thing was the knife was in the wrong hand.
You can only find, because, you know, there aren't that many photos of me, apparently. At least not of me cooking. There's a lot of pictures of my hands, but not many pictures of me.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. I'm not somebody who digs having myself on on the interwebs.
I mean, I don't particularly mind it. It's just that I'm the one who usually takes the photos. So it's like I'm either holding the camera in one hand and my hand and the knife in the other hand, or I have like a little tripod. It's actually difficult for me to get photos of myself anyway because I don't have a photographer.
Well, you're doing your video. Are you guys going to, what's going on with your video, the web series?
Well, the web series is the first part, the first six episodes are kind of done and wrapped and out. It's sort of up in the air whether we're going to continue that same series or, you know, we sort of saw it as an experiment to see what video would be like. So the web series is basically done right now. We might start a new series, or we might go into TV or any sort of, you know, I mean, video is definitely on the roster for us. It's just a question of how and when and who's going to do it with us.
Yeah. I have to say, I mean, I didn't really get, I think I saw the first one. I don't see anybody. I thought it was a great idea. And the girl your co-host, I guess that's she.
Yeah, Katie.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. So, I mean, what else? I mean, you were going around America frying up chicken with kimchi.
I've been frying a lot of chicken, yeah. Nice. Doing a lot of pop-up dinners and things like that. We'll be doing a few more pop-up dinners sort of as the holiday season rolls around. We'll be doing some, like, prime rib dinners. Which will be sort of, like, ticketed events. They won't be
wedding style. Did you?
Yeah. We're working with this company called Dinner Lab, which is run by an old friend of mine who used to work at Chris Illustrated with me. Dinner Lab, they do like these pop up dinners all around the country, and they're usually like these fancy multi course things, and they're done in spaces that aren't restaurants. Mm-hmm. So I think they operate in like 30 cities right now. But they find unique spaces and then do these ticketed pop up dinners there. I'm working with them, and we're going to do some dinners in non restaurant spaces, like warehouses and art studios and stuff like that. Although mine will not be the fancy multi course things; they're all going to be sort of family style,
nice,
fun, you know, relaxed food lab style stuff. So,
are you guys going to come to Atlanta? Will you come to Atlanta? Do you know? Is Atlanta on your roster?
I think right now, before the end of the year, we're looking at Austin, L.A., and San Francisco. And then, depending on how those go, once the new year comes around, I definitely want to do more things. Especially because, like, during this book tour, I was mostly just on the coast, because those are sort of, like, the big markets to start with. So I never really got to go even places like, I didn't even get to Chicago. I would definitely love to come to Atlanta, Chicago, New Orleans, Austin, which I hopefully I'm going to. A lot of places I want to get to that I haven't had a chance.
Well, come here if we can like help. If there's anybody we can like help introduce you to, as far as like restaurants or whatever.
The main restrictions for me are basically just like my own bandwidth and time.
Yeah.
We're like remodeling the house and there's just a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and you're physically, you're doing it yourself. Like you're actually doing the
work. Yeah, yeah.
Well, before I forget, Colin was very disappointed he couldn't join us. You know, he does Open Heart Magic and this is a very busy time for him. So he couldn't be here. He loves Danner. He's a lover. He loves Kenji. And he reviewed Kenji's book in his column, the issue that's out right now. His cookbook field test, which I love because I created, my idea for cookbook field test.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a fun review.
Yeah, he's great. Well, I figured
he's one of the few people who actually like cooked out of the book before writing about it.
Well, that's what we make. Because my thing is if Colin can cook a meal out of it, then anybody can cook a meal out of it. The problem is he's like not that new at cooking anymore. He's getting, he'd probably yeah, but it is. It's really funny because he is such he's a guy and he's very much a guy. I mean, I would actually never present one of his photos because I can only imagine the styled plate is like not what the author is going to want shown with their food. So yeah, he does a fantastic job, but he's crazy about you. And Kenji's a contributor to Kraft too. So he always he's got great recipes. He can cook and write about anything, but I've kind of got him.
Other than dessert.
Yeah. Well, right.
Well, I guess I occasionally do dessert. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not, which is fine. Cause I'm not that really into dessert, but he is so amazing with vegan and vegetarian dishes. Nice. And he could do any kind of meat thing, but I try, like, you know, and I don't really like to soapbox on stuff, but I love to have, you know, for people to have these options, these great plant-based meals. Like, I know, I think we were like, do you want to do something with fish? Was like my last. Yeah, I mean, he could do anything, but I generally, we try to keep it to that. But so you can always find great recipes. And of course, like, you really need to get his cookbook. It's, you guys, if you want to look at it, it's really heavy. So here.
Oh, 3 kilograms.
Well, I've, yeah, but I have the advanced reading copy. I don't have the pretty pictures. There you go.
Some serious heft.
It's very, very big. It's very well, and Brian's a chef, so he'll find the book really interesting. And before we move on to the other guys, what's your drink of choice, Kenji? Are you a beer drinker? Are you a whiskey drinker? Are you not a drinker?
The important questions.
You know, I was a Scotch drinker for a while, and then I was a whiskey drinker. But now that I've like moved out to the West Coast, there's
beer.
I feel like there's a lot more wine and beer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm mostly switched to beer, and then sometimes wine with dinner. But I do have like late night bourbon sometimes, or rye. I like rye.
Well, you needed all the guys that are on today, like, seriously. And I don't just say, I mean, I think it would be hard for me not to be totally gaga for them if they didn't make really good.
Whoa, my really, dogs are going crazy.
Which one, Dan or you? Sorry. Was that Dan or Kenji? Oh, it's probably Danner.
No, that's my dog.
Oh, Kenji.
My wife is coming
out. But so we'll catch up with Drew, and I want to hear about, you need to go, if you go to Chicago, if you're in that area, you've got to go see Drew's brewery. His beer is amazing. And I mean,
awesome.
he's my friend, and I would, you know, but he does make amazing beer. And well, Drew, what's going on? Like, tell everybody about Hammond and Sour Note, all the stuff that's happened since we haven't recorded in like a year and a half.
Yeah,
I know it's been a year and a half. It seems like I haven't stopped moving since we got open in 2013. So you know, we looked for a spot early on this year because we really wanted to kind of grow at a nice little pace. And so we met with Hammond in February and just kind of expressed our need to grow. And they reached out to us after another brewery had pulled out. So we're moving to Hammond. We bought a 32,000 square foot building, which would house a tasting room, brewery, as well as our sour company, the Sour Note. So everything's pretty much moving out of our current location. And then we're adding a new brew pub to Gary, which is just basically 3 doors down from where we're currently at right now.
So will you only be brewing in Hammond and just you'll distribute to the Gary location?
Initially, yes. We're adding a small 3-barrel experimental system in Gary, but we'll start with Hammond first and then basically sell beer to Gary taproom facility.
Nice. Well, it's exciting, Drew. I'm really glad
to. Man.
It's kind of cool to have him back. Drew was really one of the people that, you know, with all his colorful language, did not understand why I wasn't going to record the show anymore. Basically, like, are you fucking kidding me? Why, you know? But you know, I wouldn't have come back if you know. Brian has been on me for like, he didn't want us to stop recording.
Yeah,
his thing was
I'll too much fun with this.
Yeah, and when I kind of like
blame it on me, then blame it on me.
No, I'm not blaming on no. You know, you know, I was like basically crying the last show you recorded with us.
I was too. So,
but you know, he had, you know, Matt had work obligations that were more important, unfortunately, or, you know, but I understood. But when I made a comment, I think you and I, Brian, had a conversation, and I think I just posted something on Facebook, and Matt, he said, like, are we getting the band back together? I was like, oh, well, now I have to do it because if Matt is willing to record again.
I was sort of waiting on it. I had just been thinking about it. It was pretty funny. Perfect timing. I was like, oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, very cool. And I figured it's a good opportunity. I love recording with you guys, and I love talking to everybody. And it's a good opportunity to talk about craft. Because I do think there's a lot of stuff that we'll talk about in craft that we can expand on that you just can't, like, you know, Brian's a contributing writer in craft. He writes amazing stuff, and he writes bigger features. And sometimes we just have to edit things down, and we can't cover everything. So, well, before I move on to Danner, because I've got so much stuff to talk to Danner about, I want to talk to Andy about what's going on. So the last time, just to catch up everybody, when we, of course, had Charlie on roundtables and just kind of like shooting the shit and not talking about anything too serious, when you guys first came on, you were a fairly new... You weren't distilling, you're a bottler that you were working on getting your distillery up and running. Now you're distilling, you've released, yeah. You've got clear spirits, but even like, you know, and this was something that I've always said, I'm very much behind any small producer that, first of all, transparent. The guys have always been transparent about their business and that they were bottling, but doing their blending and now they're barrel finishing spirits and we're going to drink later, since Brian opened beer first, we're going to drink the sherry.
I didn't see the horses on the glass. I should have assumed that meant Kentucky.
These are actually my papa's glass. So my grandfather has been gone for a very, very long time. I'm extremely close to him. And these showed up in the mail. And that's why I was going to drink. So these were my grandfather's like daily whiskey glasses.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's and they awesome. Hadn't, nobody, these haven't had anybody drinking from them for like 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So cool. I was very excited to get them. So I drank from them the other day, but I thought he would be super stoked to know, like I was sitting drinking alcohol from his granddaughter. I was like his pride and joy. So yeah, that's why there's horses on the glasses.
No, I like it. It's great. Okay. I mean,
but so you're winning. You have all kinds of gold awards for the cask finish, the sherry cask finish, right? This has like been a big year for you guys.
It has been, yeah. And I don't know, all kinds. I think we've gotten. Well, I guess it's one at least, but it was double gold from San Francisco. So that was pretty big. We're really excited about that. But I mean, yeah, I guess. What was it? Was it over a year ago, I guess, that we were on before? It must have been.
It was probably like 2 years ago because Matt was on the show and we haven't been recording for like a year and a half. So it's like you guys were really, really new. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been in it distilling now since last August.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got barrels that are now like 15 months old or something. So I'm pretty excited about that. But, but yeah, I mean, we're trying to go hard every day.
Are you still working with Dave Pickerell?
I mean, he's still, a consultant and stuff, but he helped us kind of get started and start up and everything. But we're pretty much on our own. I mean, I actually haven't even talked to him in several months.
The training wheels are off. And, you got the...
yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a quick... I mean, it was like, I guess it was about 2 weeks, and then it was like a few weeks of a lot of calling him and being like, hey, just want to check on this, make sure I'm doing it right. But I mean, one of my favorite things is just getting everybody else's perspective. Cause Dave is obviously knows his stuff pretty well. And he kind of helps so many people out that, I imagine I honestly haven't even talked to all that many people who,
haven't
kind of learned
them.
From him, but yeah. And so, just making other friends who are like, just seeing all the different perspectives, because as distilling is different from brewing in that you can't legally home distill at all.
Yeah.
It's just all forms of it are illegal, at least for
You have to
alcohol.
Be all in.
Even for personal use? Sure.
Oh,
even
yeah.
For personal
yeah.
use. And I'm not sitting here distilling essential oils, so... I, that's legal, but who the hell is doing that? So, I didn't have much experience, but Dave, taught me the basics, and now I'm kind of like reading all the books and talking to everybody I can, just seeing everybody's points of view.
And I love that this was, stuff that in the future in craft we'll get into more and more with producers, but I do love that you guys are making an effort to source locally. And I think it's really, it's important. And again, I don't want to get too off topic of what we're talking about, but supporting everything locally, not just, people get like super crazy about like, I'm going to support a craft brewer. And I think that's great. And I want, of course, like you always want people to support the best possible product they can. When it can be local, that's fantastic. But I love that it just kind of ends there. it's like, and I mean, I'm not like, I definitely don't want a soapbox, but it does kind of crack me up where it's like how people don't have problems going to Walmart. People don't have, but it's like, I'm going to buy craft beer. It's like, I'm only going to buy local. And it's like, I mean, if you're going to walk the fucking walk, you know? So it does crack me up that it's like, it begins there and it ends there. But I love that, you know, I do. I think it's important, like when it's possible and when you can support local producers, like Boulevard is so big that it's tougher for them. And I think also where they're located, they're more limited. With not, of course, with grains, but I mean, Jeremy and I have talked about this before, but like with hops and, right. and certain yeah. fruits and yeah, it's, but I do love that. I love seeing guys, especially, you know, like you guys are, they're still a micro distiller. So it's more expensive. It's harder, you know, finding quality product and finding people that you can work with. It's, there's a lot of work involved. So I give,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, I definitely, I hate saying shit. Hats off to you for that.
Well, it does take a lot of extra effort. I mean, it's and it may not pay off financially to go to that extra effort. So,
well, I do. It's like, you know, like Kenji could attest to this. Like you get what you put in is going to affect what you get out of it. When you're cooking something or you're brewing something or you're distilling something, you know, it's like crap in, crap out. You use the best products, you're going to have the best possible end result.
I mean, right. I would think though that, you know, brewing even more than cooking is so much technique based, you know, like with cooking, there, if you mess it up at the beginning, there's always stuff you can do at the end to sort of fix it and make it elevable. But brewing, if you mess it up, it's just gone, right?
Make whiskey out of it.
Well, and that's the thing too. It's like even like with distilling, it's like the guys can like taste like straight off the still. Like you'll get their. Are you guys aging your unaged whiskey at all, or is it straight off the still into the bottle?
Interesting question. Strange answer. Technically, we are because it's called whiskey.
Yes.
But the way that we do it is, so we're making a Tennessee whiskey, so it's charcoal mellow, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, we took a whiskey barrel, and put sugar maple charcoal in it, and made our charcoal mellowing tank is actually a barrel. So technically, our whiskey is, in sort of air quotes, it's being aged. As it's going through the charcoal mellowing process.
Oh, wow.
Because by the federal government standards, you can't call it whiskey unless it's hit a barrel. Now, just being called whiskey doesn't have to be a new barrel.
Right, right, because you're not saying bourbon or...
So,
right.
So we're technically going through an already used barrel, but it's just our charcoal mellowing tank.
Right, because the charcoal mellowing is what
a brand new barrel.
I mean, of course, also geography, but the charcoal mellowing is what makes it Tennessee whiskey. On top of the fact that you are in Tennessee, unlike we've already had that other topic of discussion with your brother about whiskey that wants to be called Tennessee whiskey that has not actually been made in Tennessee. For whatever.
The whole thing.
Yeah. That's when, like, you get you know, Andy's, like, super, like, such a, like, southern gentleman. His brother's more like, your brother's got more redneck in him. Right? I don't even think Charlie will mind me saying that. He gets fired up.
It's good balance,
I haven't heard. That's a good way to put it, I guess. He sure looks more like it than I do.
Nice.
We love you, Charlie. So I definitely let's talk today. So this is what the two of them don't know about each other. I think what I like so much about Kenji is what I like so much about Danner. Their personalities are very, very similar. And if you two start following each other on Twitter, I have Danner and it's funny because I just say it to him. It's not like what's up. It's like, so what shit have you been stirring lately? Because I love Kenji.
He also gets drunk and posts late night tweets that he regrets.
No.
I have naked tweets, but I don't. Yeah.
I love Kenji and Danner have absolute conviction in what they talk about, like what they say, and they do not back down. I mean, it's fantastic.
It is.
I mean, well, and just to like see it. I mean, Kenji and he knows his stuff, and he's, you know, and I like that, you know. And Danner's the same way. Some of this stuff, I think, like, you know, you get into that like objective subjective area with some. But I do. I love, you know. It's like if you stand up for yourself, like say, and there, Danner gets into it a lot. I mean, it is really funny. Kenji doesn't. Kenji is basically like just. fuck you. I mean, I do. I love it. I think Danner's got to be more careful because it's like with Boulevard, like, you know, he's right. still the even though his thing says like these are my opinions and not, you know, it's still, yeah. he still has the shingle. Like he's got to be careful.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
But I do. I love your approach to people. Like they don't take bullshit and I love it. I mean, Kenji is constantly, but he'll just even call out other people's stuff. There was Aaron. It was very subtle the way that we approached it, but Kenji and Aaron got into it with some people over bone broth. Like, and what bone broth is just stock and how it became like this, like $15 for a pint.
Every time I've gotten in an argument with my friends
over bone broth. Bone broth. Yeah. And it was really,
I can't remember the last time a bigger pile of bullshit has come out.
And then I feel bad. Like, I feel like I'm like, you guys go at it. Cause then I'm like, then I'll get people that are approaching me. Like, we have this new product and it's weird how I've had to really tone down what I can talk about and not talk about. Cause I've always been the one who I didn't do that before. It's different publishing. So I'm like, well, why don't we write something about, like, you know, don't have to call people out on it, but maybe these people don't really realize what they're buying, that it's ridiculous that they're spending, you know, you could, like, seriously, yeah. anybody who's ever made anything in their kitchen, if you throw it in a pot of water, that's what you're paying. Like, I don't know. What are they also like? They're roasting the bones. What's that?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, how the hell are you going to make a stock or broth without it? I mean,
I don't know. It's just, it's really fun. But it's just like one minor example, but I do love when it comes to a lot of this fad stuff that's just so ridiculous. And Danner's the same. I mean, I do, I just see Danner gets like, yeah, lately, man, you've been letting people wind you up way too much. I've said that to him and I'm like, why do you let those people get you so wound up?
I was at that magic point between like baseball. Normally I'm like, yeah, I was like in the 3 to 5 beer zone where it's just like I'm really excited about this, and like after 5 beers I don't care, and before 3 I know not to, but just, it was a magic zone, and things happened.
And so Kenji, you may not like, you know, I never really get into this kind of stuff with Kenji because it's food, you know, like he does food with us, but so, you know, craft is we promote, you know, small, mostly independent producers of food and drink. I mean, it's like we just present a regular magazine. It's not something that I try to talk that much about, but it is one of those things like when companies start to get a little bit bigger, they don't really need they don't need us, you know? So it's, I created this for small new businesses and for people that needed exposure and don't know how to market themselves or talk about themselves. And Danner's brewery was bought by Duval Moria, which is it's a very how it's like 100 and how old is
it's like, yeah, like 1871 is kind of when the brewery was founded.
By like industry standards, they're still, they don't like the all of their holdings, right, Danner? They produce less than Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, if you were to combine all the beer that we sold in the United States, including Firestone Walker, we're still smaller than Sierra Nevada, and that's the United States. But yeah, I mean, I think because we're multinational and it's a name that's hard to pronounce, people freak out and assume that we're this giant conglomerate, and it's kind of funny to us because we're so tiny.
Well, you know, and of course, this is like this is really one of those instances where I'm happy that we're doing the show, because we did try to, at least from like craft's perspective, what for me, we have to be slightly fluid. Like, yes, I do say these are the kind of businesses that we want to hold, but these guys are going to retire. Their businesses are going to grow. Some of them, their health will fail. Like, people have to sell their businesses to somebody. I feel like, and we've talked about this before, John, you know, the former owner of Boulevard, I feel like made the most responsible decision he could when he sold the brewery. He could have sold to one of the macro breweries. And he, you know, I feel like you can't punish people for growing. And like, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I probably, if they had ended up being bought by AB InBev, we wouldn't be talking about them in craft anymore, not as punishment, but they're no longer within the parameters of the people that we talk about and promote.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like Boulevard, Firestone, Walker, I feel like they're still, they're still true to what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because people, like, it's completely unfounded, the kind of crap that you hear him having to argue about day in and day out. But yeah, people are really upset because the money is leaving. Yes, I always say, it's wonderful if you can buy from somebody and they're paying taxes locally and they're employing people locally. But the people at Boulevard do work at Boulevard and they are paying their taxes in Kansas City. And they are, it's not like it's this massive company that's shipping, you know, vats of beer over. And we're not, it's just, I don't know what it's based on. It's hard. I can't get in it, but I don't know why you let those people get you upset, but it is funny.
Entertainment value.
Misinformation, that's all. Everyone spreads the wrong information about news of, yeah, brewery being sold,
yeah,
and it gets out there, and it's 20 different ways in the sun, and you just wish some of them just shut the fuck up until they had the right information.
Yeah, I mean, and not to defend those people, but you know, there are a lot of people that are butthurt right now over the InBev and everything that's going on. So I think there's a knee jerk reaction.
This is
happening as well before they learn, you know,
with like a golden road, like with a situation like that. For me, it's, and again, I don't feel like what, and it's not because Danner's my friend or Danner works, you know, with us at Kraft. This is how I felt before. And these were conversations I had with him before he ever came to write. And he does write for Kraft, and he will be doing his column as Jeremy Danner, not as Jeremy Danner of Boulevard Brewing Company. I mean, that was important, I think, for him to have his own, these are his opinions and his own personality. And I keep saying, I need to remember to give you your own email address because I do not really want to field the feedback from your...
Oh, yeah.
But, there's two sides to this. People get so passionate when they're supporting local businesses, especially if it's like their hometown, whatever, restaurant, distillery, brewery. And for some of those people, good or bad, whether the products are good or bad, that's why they're supporting it and why they're so passionate about it. They do feel a little, and you have kind of like built your business on a lot of these people supporting you and being so passionate about you. So you do, to an extent, have to understand when people are upset, when they feel like you've abandoned them because they have stood by you. No, should you not make business decisions based on that? No, of course not. But I do think that you do have to take that into account. I mean, you did kind of like, you know, you got your business to the place it was where these people wanted to buy you because of people that were supporting you and nobody cared about who you were.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's like when, you know, you discover some band that no one's heard of and they're like your band and then
they're on like the top 40.
Exactly. You feel like they sold out, you know?
Yeah, we hate when they get successful. Like, screw you for making money.
An interesting thing about that, though, is like a lot of people don't realize, like, yeah, that's kind of validation. Like, you like this so much, and it's so good. Now everybody likes it.
Right.
What do you want them to do? Just not spread to everybody else? Like, you were right. You know, you're one of the ones who helped spread it. Like, you maybe didn't realize what you were doing, but, like, I don't know. Yeah, there's always kind of more sides than one, and because people get so passionate about it, they kind of often get blinded, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, we got an email from this woman the other day who went and was like, hey, I took a tour, you know, from where, I don't even know where she's from, took a tour at your distillery, was great, the tasting was great afterwards, went very well with the history and all this, and then she went into talking about, like, and I didn't know, you know, you guys have all this great stuff, and then I bought a bottle of your little travel-sized bottle and brought it home, and then to my surprise, it said distilled in Indiana on it. And this is your Tennessee whiskey. And so obviously it's not Tennessee style whiskey and all this, and it shouldn't be on your shelves. And she ended the email with shame on you. And I was like, oh my God. Like, the first thing was like, okay, one, you weren't listening to anything we said, obviously, because it was not our Tennessee whiskey.
Right.
And yes, it was distilled in Indiana. We make sure to tell everybody that on our tour at least twice.
Right.
But of course, I couldn't say, like, listen, lady, like, maybe take our tour again and listen. I was like, well, thank you for coming. If our tour guide didn't tell you that, that's, you know, there's no excuse, and I apologize. But, like, you know, it's just, you clearly weren't listening and you just want to spew something.
Well, that's kind of, I think, what Danner's confronted with.
There are a lot of angry people on the internet. And it's impossible to make everybody happy. And even if you try to make everybody happy, there are people who are determined
not to be happy.
Kenji, when you guys do. Did you guys, and of course, like, it was a great thing, and of course it completely different from, like, food and beverage production, but Sirius Eats, who Food Lab, the Kenji's company, was bought by a really big media, or partnered, I'm not sure by a really large media company, and it was a great purchase. Do you guys hear that kind of stuff in your field?
Any, like, backlash?
Yeah. I don't know if it's the same. I think it's just this.
All the time.
Oh, really? Okay.
But what's really funny, though, is that, you know, it literally nothing changed about the way Sirius Eats is run. So, you know, Sirius Eats is a tiny, tiny place. It's on editorial. It's me, four other people. And then, you know, our total staff is like under a dozen. And it has been for years. And so we recently got acquired. So we're now part of a larger media company called Sexy, but, the operating staff is still exactly the same as it's always been. And the, you know, the larger company has really done nothing other than to say, you know, here's like a budget for you. And like, you can now hire people according to this schedule. And that, you know, really it's given us just peace of mind. So nothing has really changed about the way we do things, but yeah, now ever since the acquisition, we get comments all the time being like, oh, like things have changed since Sirius Eats got bought. Like now they're more commercial, or like, I've noticed there's more ads going up. It's like, no, it's like, literally, we're doing the exact same thing we've always done. Like, whatever else you see there is all.
I don't want to be an asshole here. And now, I guess, like, I'd say it, like, being in media is like, how do they expect you guys to stay in business if you have no ad revenue? You know, you can't, like, you want to go to, how do they expect you to be a business if you have no ad revenue? Like, you need to, you guys want to go to the website, and you want all these great recipes at your disposal. And, you know, Kenji's like, you know, Kenji's brilliant. I mean, the guy could have gone into a lot of other fields. He has a passion and a love for food. So it's like, should he keep creating recipes and doing this work and not, but I, like, it is kind
yeah,
of a,
I mean, you know, yeah. The site is free, right? Like, it's right. Like, all of that is there for free. The only thing we ask in return, and I don't even ask people, it's like, if you want to use an ad blocker, go ahead and use it. You know, for me, it's like, the user experience is the most important thing. Like, there are other people at Sirius Eats whose job it is to worry about making sure that we have enough money, you know, like the ad sales people. For me, it's just about the user experience. There are people who just expect things online to be completely free and, like, don't understand that, you know, even with advertising, you know, it's still a struggle to make money in publishing. It's not like advertising pays particularly well.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, you know, there's definitely this a disconnect between, like, how things really are and what people's perception, you know.
The things that get me, though, the things that actually legitimately bother me are when people accuse me of, like, I'll do product reviews and I'll write about things and I'll say, like, you know, this is a good knife or this is a good sous vide circulator, and I don't do it for money, but there are people who like, come out and accuse you of shilling for some company, which, like, first of all, is totally illegal. Like, you have to disclose if you're doing that. And you get into a lot more trouble than it's worth if you lie about it.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
And secondly, it's like, you know, I've been doing this for years, and, like, I don't think I've ever done anything to indicate that, like, I'm like a guy who's willing to sell out, just to line my pockets. Like, you know, but no matter what, you're going to find people who are, like, you know, looking to be angry about something, no matter what you do. You just can't avoid it.
That's what I had said to Danner. I was like, you can't possibly think that these angry little people are just worried about beer. They're everywhere. But I love it, because what Kenji said is almost identical to what Danner would say about when Boulevard was bought. Nothing changed. They had access to better technology, you know, like better buy, you know, I'm sure, like, as far as, like, buying their raw goods, you know, just when there's capital there, you know that your business is going to keep going. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, like, Danner, I think my favorite little shit stir started this. Are you the one who got the I don't want to call it a bet. I guess it is a bet. Going with Garrett Oliver over at Brooklyn. Are you the one who? And I think don't you know Garrett? I think Kenji knows Garrett too, because Kenji was in New York before. Don't you? Why
Garrett.
Do I think Oliver at Brooklyn Brewery?
I've probably met him.
Oh, no, I don't know why I thought you guys knew each other.
I'm terrible at remembering things, but it's possible. Quite possible.
Okay, so the deal is, you know, it's it's their home teams are going to be mm-hmm. in the World mm-hmm. Series, right? So whoever has the winning team, the other brewery has to serve their beer on tap at the brewery or at the brew pub, right? So
yeah, in the tasting room, yeah.
Well, the funny thing today was reading that, like, I guess Garrett had tweeted something about so everybody knows it. It's to Danner. If it's Boulevard and the person tweeting back, it's Dan. I don't know if Danner likes people to know. Do people know that? Is that okay to know?
Yeah, yeah. They're shocked when they find out. They're like, how are you so restrained on this? Yeah.
Yeah, right. He's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. So, and then I think Garrett said he was like already sending beer over, and Danner's just like, well, how nice of you to give us beer and serve our beer. Yeah, so yeah. It's going to be nice. Danner cares about two things, beer and baseball. And his whole family is, I mean, so I love, so what's, who's, I guess, who, not Danner, who, everybody else, like who, I could care, I honestly know nothing about baseball, but so like, do you guys have a favorite team or?
I was an Oakland A's fan, but.
Well, that doesn't.
That means nothing.
Hey, Drew, who do you, which team are you rooting for? You're Midwest, so I would imagine, I don't want to put words.
You know, I'm a swinger, man. I root for whoever's winning.
nothing like a loyal fan.
Exactly. But I'm more of a White Sox fan since I live on the South Side now, so I'm closer to the stadium. So I hate the traffic going to Wrigley Field, but I'm more of a Sox fan.
Nice.
I'm guessing that Andy just doesn't. Are you into baseball?
I'm not big on baseball at all, but. We do have the Oakland A's farm team, the AAA Nashville Sounds.
Yeah, right. Go Sounds.
Send Brian over to see you.
the only guitar-shaped scoreboard in probably the world.
Nice.
That's awesome. Road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and actually, and I don't know if it'll happen, I hate making, maybe I don't even need to say this on the air, but I may end up seeing Andy is more likely. It's very possible that I could see Drew since Drew is further away. I may be making a visit over there with a friend. So, and we'll definitely, so I need to try to figure out like how, if we can tie it in with the show or not. I think they're going to want to record stuff. Oh yeah. Well, we need to drink some of his bourbon before we get off the air. But so is there anything that you guys wanted to talk about? Did you have Matt? You haven't had a chance to really talk to these guys in a while. Is there anything?
I'm rusty. I'm still.
I know it's weird. I feel kind of like I'm trying to like shake it off too.
Yeah,
It's a weird, but it's been so great to catch up with everybody. Yeah. And I love. Hopefully, Kenji will get you back on. Get to talk about. It's like it's actually a lot more fun. Like when we have. Not that Kenji was actually, he's great, but it's fun when, I didn't mean, I'm not backpedaling at all. No, you know, like when people already know each other and you don't have to go through that whole part of the show where you're introducing people, it's like they can start asking each other questions know each other. It's just, you know, it's like, I don't have to do anything. I can actually just drink because, you know, I'm still drinking just my beer.
It feels like you're drinking more than I've been.
I haven't been, that's the thing is like, it's so funny because I drink so little now because all I do is work. It's funny because I think people think like I just get loaded.
I'm the exact opposite of that.
You're drinking all the time?
I work so little now because all I'm doing is drinking.
I don't think that's true. And you guys, when...
Amen.
Exactly. When you... I do hope, Kenji, if you come to Atlanta, whether you get to record with us or not, we would totally go eat whatever you're making.
Oh yeah,
for sure. I'd love you. And of course, Danner, you're always welcome.
And I'd love to try out my fried chicken in the South.
Yeah,
well received up in the North. Oh, but who knows?
Now let's bring it up since we've got Drew on the phone. Now this was one of my favorites, Kenji. And of course, Kenji, Kenji decided to take on Chicago style pizza, which he absolutely can't stand.
I
guess that it's like such poor examples of. I will say this. I think it's gross.
Chicago style pizza is not. It's not Chicago style pizza. It's just that Chicago style pizza in Chicago is almost all bad. Like it's just not prepared well.
I know, right? But
as a concept, it's fine. It's just not done very well usually.
Am I the only one who thinks it's just not cooked? It's like, I feel like, if it's not even like dough I would want to eat. period.
I've actually only ever had it once.
Well, when I've been into Chicago, I'm like, it just doesn't ever taste cooked to me. It tastes kind of raw.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a good idea.
I grew up on it,
though.
And I hate it. Yeah,
That's the definitive answer right there.
So Drew's fiance is opening. What kind of restaurant are you guys going to be opening?
It's a brasserie. So during the day, it's going to be a coffee shop during the day. And then like mid-afternoon, we'll flip it to small plates, charcuteries, different types of cheeses, you know, some wines from France. And then obviously she'll be carrying our beer and Nico and a few other friends that we know, whether it be Off Color and some other locals.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You're I think Kenji would really dig the kind of food you guys serve at 18th. I mean, like, it's very like in line with a lot of stuff that he cooks and a lot of things I see him going out to eat. Yeah, she mixes up kind of like Southern and Asian. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's Chef Virtue's. She's pretty amazing. She's a pastry chef by trade, and actually, for the new pub, she's definitely rolling out a new menu for the new pub, and we're hiring a new chef to basically, you know, basically run Hammond and help with getting the brasserie off the ground, because it's really running three operations in one, and that's something that one chef can't really maintain, especially with the demand that's put on top of the team, because I'm a foodie by trade, and I want things to be right, so yeah. That's definitely a change.
Mm-hmm. Really quick, we have to talk about, because he is in the magazine, how is Hot Dog John doing? Can we get him on the phone real quick? I would love to hear Hot Dog. Did he take off?
He's actually, well, I'm sitting in front of Northdown, and he's having a what's a heated conversation with the owner of Northdown, so
never mind.
Probably not a good idea. Knowing Johnny probably did something stupid, that's gonna piss off people who walk in tomorrow. So it's been an ongoing battle for the last year and a half with,
really? Clay fighting.
John is the type of guy who eggs her on. And
you're talking about Kate? If
so
Kenji, if you ever go to Copenhagen, you have to go visit Hot Dog John's hot dog truck.
You have to go. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's a chef. Yeah, his name is... he'll hate me that I actually even named that article Hot Dog John. Because I call him just... We all call him Hot Dog John, don't we?
Calls him Hot Dog John?
Yeah. He's a chef by trade. He was actually injured and couldn't. Wasn't he a pastry chef or was he?
He's a pastry chef.
Yeah, and he just if anybody wants to learn about John, just read the article on him. But he's very interesting. He does a lot of really great collaborations with brewers. Like he'll come to town and he makes all his own condiments. I mean, he makes everything like soup to nuts. And so, yeah. So he even like makes his own hot sauces, ketchup, mustard, and he uses a lot of breweries, like collaborates with the brewers and uses their beer. And of course, like everything's like organic and he like makes his own, you know, he works with the butcher to make the hot dogs.
What's your opinion on homemade ketchup?
I've
got an opinion on homemade ketchup.
I'm not a big ketchup fan to begin with, but I've not had a whole lot. So I'm going to say there's a lot of ketchup I don't even like, but the cat, no. And we can totally get into the whole catsup because we're in the South. That is like
reading my
mind.
When
people like the catsup ketchup thing where like, it's just, I prefer the more vinegary if I'm going to have it than that real sugary.
Right.
No, so is that Kenji asking? I can't, because Kenji and Dan are kind of sad. But I think, who is that who asked me? Kenji? Was Kenji the one who asked the question, or was that Danner?
It was definitely, it was Kenji.
Kenji.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think it's gross. And nobody can reinvent, nobody can make, I don't know what it is about the industrial complex, but they can churn out a much better ketchup than most people. But I will say, Skillet, one of the companies that we feature that's in Seattle, I think, Kenji, are you familiar with Skillet? They've got like, they do that bacon.
I'm not.
Okay, they sent me a couple of things, and they have a Chipotle ketchup that was freaking awesome.
Okay, flavored ketchup maybe. Ketchup maybe works. But yeah, but for me, it's always like, no matter if you're making a homemade ketchup, the only thing I can ever think to myself, like, because you know, in my head, Heinz is ketchup,
And the only thing I can ever think to myself is how it doesn't taste like mine.
Well,
sounds to me like your thought on Chicago-style pizza. Like, the idea is pretty good, but homemade ketchup is just never executed well. I don't know that.
It could be that, because you know, for me, it's like the closer you can get it to Heinz, the better the ketchup is.
Heinz has set the standard for ketchup.
The perfect platonic form of ketchup.
it's not even that. It's just that it's like the definition of ketchup.
Yeah. It's a childhood thing. I think there's certain things when you like wonder why you eat it, but it's like it's something that you just always had, and it's like it's not that it's like better than other things, but it's just that's not what it's supposed to taste like to you. You know what I mean? Like there's like certain things like, that's not my mom's blah blah blah, and it's like your mom's isn't even that good, but it's not the one that's like whatever you find comforting about it.
Yeah, it's a taste memory burned into you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh, Heinz just got a big old plug from Kenji. Yeah. you're gonna get a pallet of Heinz showing up on your front doorstep. And anybody like should be so lucky to live near Kenji because he like now that he's in California, it's like you see like this whole like load of like tomatoes. Like he gets all these crazy things and then he feeds his neighbors.
Nice.
Yeah, he's got this pizza oven, like he's feeding. I'm like, I'm gonna move to California just so I don't get to cook anymore. You know, I used to cook all the time.
Yeah.
Now I've been doing this. So I was like, Kenji, I'm gonna cook from your book. It's like I've been eating more like the stuff. It's funny, I had to quit posting photos of like stuff because I was like, people are gonna think like, oh, it's cheese. Oh, it's like I haven't eaten like a real meal, and I don't remember the last time. But anyway, I want to move near Kenji because like Kenji's just like always rolling out for his neighbors.
Nice.
Totally. Listen, guys, I am so excited. You guys were such a great group to have on for our first show. Kenji, please come back. I know you are like the busiest person on the planet right now, but I would love to have you come back on and, you know, talk about stuff. And if you do, definitely. All these guys are so great. And it just like you've got to like taste their whiskey and their beer. And if you guys are lucky, you'll get some of Kenji's food. Kenji, you should just maybe somehow ship some of that fried chicken to us. Like we'll eat it cold and reheated. We don't have a problem with that. Danner, I can't wait to hear what happens between you and Garrett Oliver. So I thought Garrett, like, there's nothing embarrassing that's going to happen, so it's not as interesting for me. Danner had to do something really...
There's no goat involved.
Danner embarrasses himself on his own. I guess, like, he doesn't have to ask anybody to do it. And have you guys seen how cute his son is?
Yes.
And he, like, he does look so much like Danner, but at the same time, I was like, maybe that's not Danner's kid because he's so blonde.
No, it's weird. Yeah,
his wife is so dark. Danner is not so dark, but he's got dark hair, and then he's got a toe head.
Yeah, it's strange. He's a gene pool lottery winner.
He looks like you. He looks like you, and then they like put like, and then he's got like somebody else's hair. No, he's absolutely adorable, and it's been fun watching Danner's kid because like we knew Danner when there was no baby, then there's baby. And so it's kind of cool. And that kid is just as much a part of the Danner, and he'll get mad when I say this, but the Danner brand. You wouldn't be nearly as interesting without that baby.
No, like
it was a marketing
move. Women would not talk to me without him. No.
Said the married man with a child. But you guys, Andy, I hope I get to see you guys soon. I know Charlie is really the one who ends up traveling. So I don't reckon you'll be coming to town anytime soon, but I do hope I get to see you. And, everybody's always welcome to come back. Yeah, for sure. You guys are, I don't know how far of a drive is that?
I do not know.
Nashville?
Yeah. From Atlanta.
Like 3.5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad. So it doesn't have to be, we could go.
Nashville. Yeah, 4. Yeah.
But we don't have to stay. We can go early and come back.
It's a fun drive. It's easy.
Okay. If you guys are down, you want to go? All right. No, I'm sorry. And I know. So, and then all the people that think like I'm totally avoiding them, like anybody who comes to town that I don't ever get together with, Matt was on my front step, wanted to go to lunch, and I didn't go with him. He's like, let's go to lunch. Can't go anywhere. Anyway, you guys, I'm really excited to be back. You know, we're playing this loose. When we can't record, we're not going to record. We're going to stick to round tables so that, you know, there's no pressure if, you know, trying to work around one person's schedule. If they don't show up, they don't show up. So just so that we can kind of keep doing it and not get to the point where we're like, we're burnt out. So thanks, everybody. You can find Kenji's book, The Food Lab, everywhere. If you have to, you can buy it on Amazon, but I'm sure there are other places you can buy it. And of course, you know, Danner, the Danner Manor. I love that we have the Danner Manor. He'll be, his first column will come out this next issue. Go see Drew at 18th Street. Yes, of course, if you're in Tennessee, near in Nashville, go see Nelson's Greenbrier. Did I forget anybody? Did I hit everybody? I got all four, right? Did. And then I want to make sure. And you guys just go to craftbyumh.com. You can see what we're up to. And our next issue is coming out very soon. So I'm excited. And thank you guys for sitting in and talking to us.
Yeah,
and,
thanks, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good chatting with you guys.
Awesome.
All right, you guys have a great night. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.
Go back, repeat, trace the veins that you don't want to see with your hands and your head.